It is Thursday, and it is Brevard County, Florida, and we are blessed to be here. That's why Merit Assembly of God exists. We are blessed to be a blessing, and so we pray that this radio program today will be a blessing to you as we go through the Word of God. Yesterday, we didn't get very far in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 25, but we will fire it up again today and see if we can't impart some more truth that will help you to live a worry-free life. A worry-free life. You know, and like I said on yesterday's program, it's not because I've always mastered this. I have had victories over this, but over the last year, there was a night I woke up and I had a real difficult time sleeping, which that part is not new, but the reason that I was having a difficult time sleeping that night was because all of a sudden I was being overcome by worry about a situation that I had no ability to control. And I got to the next morning and I said, this is dumb. This is beyond my ability to control, but it is not beyond God's ability to control. And so I prayed and said, God, you've given me victory over worry in so many different areas of my life, and I'm thanking you that you're going to give me victory over worrying about this aspect of what is going on. Had nothing to do with me personally, didn't have anything to do with the church, didn't have anything to do with finances. It was just an attack. And if you're like me, and sometimes that stuff hits you in the middle of the night, hit it back with the light. That's what I would suggest to you. So let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse number 25, and it says, "Therefore I say to you," that's Jesus speaking, "do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature?" We're going to stop reading there, because with no more than we got through yesterday, we might not get all the way through that part here today. So yesterday we concluded by talking about do not worry about your life. And then it begins to break that down into some various categories or various silos. And the first one that is mentioned, what you will eat. Now, I don't know about you, but my parents got me addicted to food as a child, and I have eaten almost every day since. There have been a number of times of fasting. But I am not one who's going to get all worked up about food. But we have to put this back into perspective. In this society, you didn't just go down to the Publix, and you didn't, I mean, there were some farmers markets and things like that, and you could probably buy, you know, some things, but fishing would have been a great ability to have as an occupation, because you just have to go out there and catch fish. Now, fishing for me is I would have to improve my fishing skills a great deal if I was dependent upon that, because I'm not very good at catching fish. The one thing that I didn't get to do when I went out to my dad's house for a wedding here not too long ago was I didn't get to go out there and see if I could catch any fish that day. There were some things that we needed to work on, and so we were out there and we did that. But here's a major point of revelation for you. That is this: God knows that you require food. God knows that you require food. Now, he told Noah, as long as the earth endures, there's going to exist seed time and harvest. You need to understand the food system. Okay. Now, I can tell you that one of the places I never wanted, I would never want to be, is I would never want to be in a major metropolitan city whenever there was a food crisis. You know why? Because you've got millions of people and there is a limited amount of food that would be coming into those places. Okay. I know that people always talk about turning to gold and things like that, but I will tell you, when I read the Bible, it tells me that there are people who are going to be selling gold, or they were going to be giving away huge amounts of gold for just a little bit of flour. You know why? You don't have to have gold, but you do have to have food at some point in time. So you don't have to worry about what you are going to eat. Now, I can tell you that in ancient times that they used food as a weapon. So when Gideon was alive, the Midianites came, they would come in and steal all of the food or destroy the food because they wanted the children of Israel to starve. Starving an enemy is not a new strategy. It's a very old strategy. Okay. It is still a strategy that is employed in some parts of the world. Some of the places where is the most extreme food shortages are places where people who are looking to gain influence and promote their particular spiritual ideology will come along and they will say, well, if you don't do what we want you to do, we're going to wipe out your crop. And so people end up starving because people just want power over other individuals. Here in America, we don't have that too much. We have a very generous country. We have food banks and we have the SNAP program or food stamps. There was the WIC program, Women, Infants, and Children. And it might surprise you, but at one point in time, with our economic situation, we had three kids. We were part of that program. So you're not going to find me as being a person that criticizes that charitable arm of giving and helping people who need food, because we have been there. We have been there. Now, I will tell you that at one point in time, we had a food outreach at church, and the supplier that we were using to, we were giving out bags and bags of groceries to families when we would do an outreach. And our supplier said, well, now we're going to need to have more control over who you're giving that to. And I said, well, I tell you what we're going to do then. We're not going to be able to do that because we're not going to be under the government's control of who and how we can minister. It's just not going to happen. So here in America, we do have food issues, but it is not necessarily the same issues that you might think. We have a huge weight issue. Now, I'm carrying around some extra reserves right now just in case there's a food shortage. That's not why I'm carrying it around. I like food. Okay. For me, if I'm not careful, if I get bored, I will want to go and eat. I know people that whenever they start going through an emotional situation, they will eat. Some people eat the wrong things. So we need to allow God to be Lord over the things that we consume. We need God to give us some wisdom in this manner. And you can look in the Word of God and you can find miraculous provision. You can find miraculous provision of manna. You can find miraculous provision of quail. You can find miraculous provision of water as the children of Israel were wandering around in the wilderness. You can find miraculous provision of flour and oil during the ministries of Elijah and Elisha. You can find poisonous food that is turned edible miraculously. You can find miraculous provision of loaves and fishes and fish that are caught beyond what any professional. God is able to take care of our food supply, but we need him to impart to us wisdom so that we know what we are supposed to do. Okay? It's not one of these things, well, I can just go and eat up everything in my house and then I don't have anything to eat for 2 weeks. That's not wisdom. That's not wisdom. And it might not even be a lack of supply. It may be a lack of wisdom. So I want to encourage you, excuse me, to allow God to build your faith in him, that he's going to provide the food resources that we need, and that he's going to give us the wisdom so that we know how to do that. So when the manna was, God said, the very first thing he said is, gather only enough for what you need today. And you know what the very first thing that the people did? They went out and gathered bunches and bunches of it. They gathered more than they were going to be able to eat. And when they got up the next morning, it had turned rotten and was bug infested, because God was looking to create in them a trust that he was God and he was Lord over what they were going to eat. Then on the sixth day, Moses told them, okay, go out and gather everything that you need for today and tomorrow, because tomorrow is the Sabbath and there's not going to be any manna provided. And so naturally, because the people were so quick to learn in this ability to trust God, that they went out the next morning to gather manna and there wasn't any to be had. And so God was building in them the ability to trust him even for their food supply. Now, I want to throw in one more thing about the manna. The manna was not a refined product. It was a raw product. In other words, it had to be worked by the people. It had to be ground. It had to be prepared. It needed to be made into a loaf, if you will. Keith Green, back in the 70s, had a song, and he talks about how the people grew to hate the manna, but they could make it to what it tasted sweet, like coriander seed with a little honey, I believe is how it's described. But they had to take it and they had to work it and make it to where it was edible for them. A lot of times we are looking to treat God like a drive-up diner. I'll have two cheeseburgers, a large fry. Let me have a milkshake to go with that, and an extra large soda. And we just go up there, and then they're going to say, okay, that's going to be $23. So what? What? I wasn't expecting that. A lot of people are looking for the handout. They don't want to be involved in the process. God is looking to teach us the ability to trust him. Okay. I'll tell another story here in just a moment, but God is looking for you and I to get involved in this process, because the Bible says he who will not work shall not eat. Okay. There's a major difference between will not and cannot. Okay? There are people with physical limitations that actually are preventative from them to be able to provide everything that they need. And I will tell you this, the government is not the solution. The church is the solution. I believe that this country would be a whole lot better off if there were regulations that were removed and the church was allowed to step up and be able to tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. So the Assemblies of God has a ministry that is called Convoy of Hope. Convoy of Hope comes in whenever there are natural disasters, and they bring in truckloads and truckloads and truckloads of food and water and emergency supplies and all. And it's not sold. It is actually given away because being a ministry of compassion is one of the four reasons that the Assemblies of God exist. And so when the hurricanes came through, Convoy of Hope went one direction, and we needed water on the barrier islands. And I contacted my presbyter, and some people had called him and said that he had relationship with. And he said, look, we want to send some supplies down there. It wasn't Convoy of Hope. It wasn't even Assembly of God. It was a bunch of Baptists from South Carolina, and they sent two trucks and would have sent more trucks. And I said, look, we got all that we need. You go ahead and send that to someplace else because we've got our need taken care of at that point in time. And we ended up building some relationships with some great people who only wanted to reach out and help people who were going through a crisis. And in the Barrier Islands case, that was because the water supply lines ended up being damaged and were not functioning on the Barrier Islands. You and I, we can trust God. We can trust God. But I want to encourage you, let's not just pull up a chair and say, well, I wonder what's going to fall from the sky today. You and I need to be very proactive in partnering with God to allow him to provide for us to eat. If you look in Proverbs, you will find that there was the difference between the wise person and the lazy person. The lazy person wouldn't go out and sow his seed. The lazy person wouldn't go out and weed his garden. The lazy person wouldn't go out and harvest. And you know, that person could starve with food being all around them simply because they did not have the initiative and the wisdom to go and process the blessing that God provides. So we need to also recognize we have refrigeration now. They didn't have refrigeration available then. We need to say, you know what, God, thank you for giving me the wisdom that is necessary. So I think I told you on yesterday's program about the accidental purchase of an additional case of toilet paper before the crisis began and how that was used to provide for us during that crisis. One of the things that I did at the beginning of the crisis, before there was any supply chain, is my dad had two bulls, two steers that he had processed back at the end of the year, and he had them in his freezer. And when we were out there and my mother died, I wanted to be a blessing to my dad, and so I paid him and purchased one of those bulls. And when we left, all of a sudden, people started talking about how the coronavirus was impacting processing plants and chicken plants, and that there was a very real meat shortage at that point in time. And I said, you know what? God is faithful to provide. You don't have to worry about what you will eat or what you will drink. The New Testament describes that Jesus was the rock that was following the children of Israel around through the wilderness, that was miraculously providing the water for them all, however many millions it was. It was a lot of people, and God demonstrated to them, I can take care of you in the most hostile environment, you can trust me. You don't have to worry. George Muller, I believe was his name, was a missionary, and he started taking, he wasn't a missionary on a foreign field. He was a missionary to the orphans, I believe in England, and he would literally pray in the food supply for all of these kids. And there would be times that the cupboards would be bare, and then all of a sudden there'd be a knock on the door, and there would be abundant provision that would come in. So let me tell you this story about our situation. I've told you when I graduated from Bible college, I got a job in the ministry, but I didn't even make enough to pay my bills, much less buy the food. And so I ate very minimalistic. So I ate a lot of pinto beans and fried potatoes and cornbread and stuff like that. All of that was cheap food. I also discovered that spaghetti was very cheap. And then when I got married and we had kids, my wife, we were looking for protein, and we found that chicken leg quarters was about the least expensive type of meat that you could buy. Back in those days, I think it was like 39 cents a pound or something like that. And I will tell you, God sustained us during that time. We didn't always get to eat the food that everybody else was eating. We didn't always get to eat the food that we actually wanted to eat, but God provided for us. And there was a lot of hard work involved. We weren't just sitting around and twiddling our thumbs and saying, I wonder what's going to come, you know, next. You know, I was called to ministry, but I actually sold items in a flea market. I sold shoes, and God used all of those things to provide food for our table. Now, I will give you the very human side. Because of that, I don't like leg quarters. I hardly will ever eat a chicken leg quarter because I had so much of it back then. I understand what the children of Israel had towards that manna. And I've got a friend who his dad was paralyzed when he was very young, and to this day he can still tell you what government peanut butter tasted like and what government processed cheese. And there are things that he will not eat because he remembers what it was like when that was the only provision that they have. Remember, as you are getting the victory over not worrying about food, remember to be grateful for whatever God does provide. Several years ago, our church would provide an entire Thanksgiving dinner. We've adopted streets on Merritt Island and blessed everybody on the street with Thanksgiving dinner. I think it was about 30 houses. It's a pretty economically challenged area. And we would go down there and we would bless every home, and we would bless, you know, some families in our church with full Thanksgiving dinner. I mean, turkey, eggs, mashed potatoes, everything that we would eat at ours, pumpkin pie. I mean, it was the full spread, milk, eggs, you know, didn't have anything to drink there, but green beans and corn. I mean, it was a wonderful, wonderful thing that we provided. Then we discovered, you know what, we can do this a little bit easier. And so we found an easier solution. But one of the people that we provided to, after we had blessed them, they said, is there any way we can get a different type of meat? And I said, what? They said, yeah, for us, our Thanksgiving normally consists of this type of meat instead of a turkey. Could we have this type of meat? And it was like, you know what? We just blessed you with probably $40 or $50 worth of groceries. And if you want another type of meat, you know, go ahead. You can go and find it. But I encourage you to be thankful for whatever God provides. So several years ago, I'm looking at one more thing here, and remember to be grateful, and let's not be selfish during this time. A guy that I know was in the hospital. He's since passed away and gone on to be with Jesus in heaven, but he was in the hospital, and he had never had a whole lot of money, and he knew where the church food banks were, and he said, Pastor Bob, I want to tell you, he said, I go to the food banks, and if they give me something that it's not going to be a blessing to me, he said, I pass that on to other people. He said, I know other people that need help, and so I pass that on to them. He said, but Pastor Bob, I go to the flea market, and I see the people who are waiting in line at the food bank with me selling the things that they get for free. And Pastor Bob, that's wrong. That's just wrong. So I want to encourage you. Let's be thankful when God shows you don't have to worry about what you're going to eat. You can trust him. Whatever you're going need to eat, he'll provide it. Whatever you need to drink, he will provide it. You and I can trust him with all of the needs that we have in our life, because he's not just God. He's Lord God. He's Provider God. And he's not just God. He's your Heavenly Father, and he loves you a whole bunch. So I encourage you today, learn to trust him. You don't have to worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink. You just need to trust God. God bless you. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Anger's own worst enemy. Even when the